just real quick, I got... Everybody here okay? All right, good. Welcome. It's good to see everybody tonight. And real excited about what's going on in the back there. We got Chris is doing track club tonight. And real excited how the Lord's working his life and his wife. I believe Kelsey's doing the King's Kids lesson. And it's always neat for me to see people stepping up and taking on more things. And I think Audrey did it last week, did a great job. And so that's just a wonderful thing to see that. And they're having a great time. And my daughter, Hannah, is in the track club now. And just really... really enjoying that. They're going through doctrines of God. It's some really deep, it's just some really very, very good solid stuff that it's important for all of us to learn, but especially to get that solid in those years of your life before you get out into college and all these things. But I want to look tonight here at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, if you've got your Bible with you here. And we're just going to look at a topic here, I think, that all of us have to deal with in Matthew chapter 6. And so I want to just kind of look and see what the Bible has to say about this. And as we look in this topic, you're going to see it has to do with the topic of anxiety. And anxiety is a species of fear. And anxiety is a paralyzing fear of what if. The biggest sting of anxiety is imagine dangers that become very real in our minds, but often never come into play. Anxieties will hide themselves in our imaginations. They disguise themselves as real concerns when in actuality they are just imaginations. A lot of times, some of us when the doctor's office shows up on the caller ID, we immediately get that anxiety. Oh no, what's it going to be? You know, and it's an imagination. They'll never comes into play. And you know, if that's not hard enough, our anxieties, they'll often just talk to us. They really do. They talk to us from the dark corners of our minds. Anxieties will torment. They torment us with what ifs. They always plague us with the worst case scenarios, and that's what anxieties do. So they'll prey on us, and anxiety, it really is. It's an emotion. It's not necessarily a decision, but it's an emotion, and it's an emotional reaction to a stimulus that happens in our life. And Jesus is going to address that in this passage. He's going to tell us in this passage. He's going to say, "Don't be anxious. Don't have anxiety." And he's going to say it five different times. And three times in our passage, he's going to give a very clear command. And he's going to say, take no thought. And the word thought there's a negative associated with the word. In the Greek, it's in the word that we get the word anxiety. And there's two times in these 10 verses where Jesus is going to ask, he's going to ask a question. He asks a question kind of like with a hyperbole. And he's going to say, hey, you know what? Do you really think that anxiety is going to help you in this situation? So he kind of calls us out on our anxieties and just asks us a question. Is that really going to be helpful right now? And I want you to learn something from Christ here in this passage. He treats anxiety different than he treats simple fears. It's a little bit different here. In the Bible, will argue. It will reason. It will communicate truth differently here in this area, and so it gives us the prescription for anxiety. And prescription for anxiety here is faith in facts. I mean, faith in biblical truth will help you navigate the storm of the unknown and the things that will cause stimulus for anxiety. And so this is a pertinent lesson for me because I'm not above this. I'll tell you. I mean, I'm getting ready to take a team to Honduras, you know, and we're going to a remote area, and you know, you just, you know, you, your mind, you just, you start thinking about all these things, And you do. You know, there's a lot of things when we have things at the church. I mean, I'll just sit up and I'll think about, like, you know, what if this happens? What if this happens? And you try to plan. You try to plan as much as you can to prevent and mitigate. But, you know, you just can't. There's a lot of unknowns. You don't know. I don't know how a resource plan is going to turn out. I've never tried to organize a 6-church event. I just know, you know, there's a lot of things that come into play there. And so you just really pray about it. You got to plan. I've been on a lot of mission trips to a lot of remote places, but I'm kind of getting more in the role now where I'm the leader of the group. And so the buck stops here. It's on me. And, you know, if I don't bring Priscilla home in one piece, it's not going to go over well. I'm just going to tell you, I'll probably have to leave town, okay? I probably will not be welcome around here anymore, okay? So, you know, I have anxiety. And this area, I was talking to Brother Jan, and he's worse than I am. I mean, he's down there right now, and he's been calling me. He calls me about every hour today and talks about, you think about this, we think about this, do you think about this? But see, down this place we're going, you know, you can be flying to this one town, and then you take a 4-hour bus ride, then you take an hour flight, and then you take an hour boat ride. And, you know, there is no way out of this place, you know. There is, you know, you got to take the boat, take the flight to get back to, like, civilization. You know, I was like, is there any roads to this place? He says, not really. So, you know, he said the missionary told him that if you wanted to, you could take a boat for 5 hours. Then you come to a place where you have to pick the boat up and carry it for a while. Then you get back in the water and go another couple hours in a boat. Then you get to a road that you could have a vehicle meet you. I'm like, well, that's good to know. It's always good to have a plan B, you know. And so you can see reasons for anxiety. So, you know, there's all these things. And so don't be anxious. Jesus is going to reason in this passage. He understands our makeup. He understands what we go through. He was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus had reasons for anxiety, but he never sinned. He always reacted correctly. He never did anything wrong here. I don't believe Jesus ever had anxiety, because but faith in facts is the cure for anxiety. And so, and that's what Jesus is going to teach us here, to really focus on the truths of God's word. And Jesus in these verses, he's different. He's different than many rulers, leaders, kings, what have you. You know, some people work for, maybe you work for a boss or a leader, or maybe you know of a great leader or something, they may try to manipulate with fear. All right, Jesus could have certainly done that, but he does not. He chooses not to do that. And Jesus is a loving king, and he basically calmly reassures and says, we do not need to be anxious about anything. Jesus is going to say this 5 different times in the passage, and I want us to look at all 5 of them tonight as we look at this passage for the next few minutes. And I want us to see the truth in all of these passages, and I want us to think about what did Jesus say. And Jesus says, this is what you need to do when anxiety comes, because it will come. I mean, anxiety's going to hit you, all right? It's going to hit you. Nobody in this room, not one person in this room, is free from anxiety. It is a response to stimulus that happens in your life, okay? So why should we, as a church, as people, people in our family, why should we not be anxious ever? Why should we not? Let's look at what the Bible says here, and let's look in Matthew chapter 6, and let's start in verse 25. And the Bible says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. are ye not much better than they? What a great question. I mean, that's awesome. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like unto one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So Jesus says, don't be anxious, five times when he's saying, take no thought. That's what he's saying. Don't have anxiety. And so there's several things. Let's look at all five of these. The first one here, we see that he says, don't be anxious about your necessities. Don't be anxious about your needs. God is saying, hey, I provide your needs. I take care. That's my job. Let me be concerned about your needs. All right. So and we have these questions and we say, well, man, what if my nest egg is not quite big enough? Jesus says, you know, why are you really worried about this? Why are you worried about this? And he gives the example of the birds, the raven, and says that their food, the birds, their food needs are met. And Jesus, he says, hey, I supply your needs. Philippians chapter 4:19. I just love the verse. But my God shall supply all your needs, according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So I like this example of birds. I like to watch birds. I like to have bird feeders. I do. I enjoy. That's something I really like to do. But I live in a bear sanctuary, so I can't do it. And it's kind of rubbed me the wrong way. You know, I had just the bears kept coming out and, you know, taking down my bird feeders, and they're just, you know. And so I called the warden. And he says, well, you just need to get rid of the bird feeders. And I was like, well, that's not really the answer I wanted to hear, you know. I kind of wanted you to come out here and blow these guys away, you know. But he said, just take away the bird feeders. Okay, that's what I did. I took them down. But anyway, you know, I like to watch birds, and they like to eat. They do. But, you know, you've never seen a bird sowing seeds, okay. You see birds take up seeds a lot. Anybody have problems with birds coming and getting all their corn seeds or whatever? Birds never, you know, you'll never see a bird in a garden just going down a row, you know, and just, you know, one in the back say, hey, keep that row straight, you know, and, you know, up one down. You'll never see that. A bird doesn't sow. They don't do that. Birds don't sow. The Bible says here in this verse, it says birds, they do not put things away in a barn. They don't do that. So, he's saying, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither do they gather in barns, for your heavenly Father feedeth them. So, you'll never see a bird driving a John Deere tractor, you know, getting ready for winter. They don't do that. And so who's taking care of the birds? Who's feeding the birds? Well, God is feeding the birds. God is taking care of the birds. So God is taking care of the birds in Tennessee. God is taking care of the birds in Honduras. God's taking care of the birds in Africa. I mean, all the birds, God is taking care of them. So God says, hey, why are you so anxious? Are you not better than a bird to me? you're very precious in God's eyes. God, you know, your soul is what God gave his only begotten son for. He loves you, and you're more precious to me. He says, I'm going to take care of that. So Jesus says also, he says, there's something here more important than food and clothing, your life, getting saved, that is much more important. Serving God is much more important. And you know, we want to worry and just think about just creating just nest eggs upon nest eggs, and we save all this money for our golden years, which really aren't that golden, are they? I mean, they're just, you know. And so God is telling us here, Jesus saying here, don't spend your whole life worrying about those things. Get on a mission. Get on a mission. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Get on a mission. You know, you just in immerse yourself and just do what's right and serve and get on a mission and serve me and let me take care of all those things. And it really is neat. When you get into the work of the Lord and you're following God with your life, God does, He provides everything. He just takes care of things, doesn't He? He just takes care of those needs. I mean, I'm just telling you, get on a mission and it's like, you know, it hits us. It's like, okay, how's this going to happen? And don't you think for a second that I'm not going through that right now. I mean, you know, with the transition I'm getting ready to make, you know, I mean, I think about those things. But I know God's going to take care of those things. God's going to take care of these needs that are coming. He always does. He always does. And so stay busy. Stay busy with the mission. You know, when you don't know what to do, you do what you know to do, right? That's my definition of waiting on God. And I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. I do what I know I'm supposed to do, you know. And when I just do what I know I'm supposed to do, God shows me what, you know, the things when I don't know what I'm going to do. He just shows me what to do, right? And so God will take care of those things when you're not sure where things are going to come from. And then verse number 27, he talks about your height. anybody ever here wanted to be 6'6" and dunk? I wanted to break 6 foot, but I never got there. He says, which in verse number 27, he says here, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And again, he phrases this, you know, kind of in a hyperbole. Just, you know, it's more than we can capable of answering. You have no control over those things. You don't have. Why waste your time worrying about these things? And you know, we can, especially with kids. Oh man, I thought I had worries, and then you have children, and I'm told that when they get older, those worries get a little even more. You know, I'm like, oh, that's great, but you know, you think about that, and you're like, you know, okay, and my kids they don't cause me too many ulcers or anything like that, but I guess the only thing I get concerned is when they get quiet. Now, when my kids get quiet, then there's cause for concern. Something is happening. Something is going on that I have to investigate very quickly. So you had kids like that too. Okay. You know, and men, moms will worry themselves about their kids. They just worry themselves to death about their kids. And some things you can't do anything about it, you know. And men will do the same way. We worry about certain things. Can anybody here's anxiety add 1 inch to your height? Will that help? Will anybody in here's anxiety add 1 month to your life? No, actually, medically speaking, it will do the exact opposite. It's very much proven that if you are a worrisome person, it's a risk factor for cardiovascular disease and things like that. So it's going to be worse and take years off your life. So Jesus is saying, hey, let me take care of these things. Let God be God, and you just do what you're supposed to do. And so, you know, we want to have you know, definitely have common sense and do things and be wise and plan and be responsible. Horses are prepared for the day of battle. Okay, that's what the psalmist says. Horses are prepared for the day of battle. So you want to prepare for the day of battle. Horses do. But what does it say? Safety is of the Lord. Ultimately, that is God's work, and so anxiety will not help you live any longer at all. Okay, and then let's look here at this third one here. Talking about clothing in verses 28 through 31, it says, "Why take ye thought for raiment. And that's the same word as we have in Philippians chapter 4. And this is a real, that's probably one of the most famous passages of Philippians 4. Be careful for nothing. That's basically saying, same thing. Paul's saying, don't worry about anything. But with everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be in the name of God. So don't worry about it. Pray about everything. But he's saying, hey, the lily is clothed. The grass of the field, have you seen some of the lilies lately? They're beautiful. I love stargazer lilies. And I planted a lot of stargazer lilies in my yard because my wife loves them. Unfortunately, our deer love them too. And so this year we have no, they just ate them all up. So, and that's why I deer hunt. No, I'm just kidding. They're beautiful. They're beautiful. And, how long do they last though? Not very long. They're very, very short lived. We worry. He compares it to Solomon in all his glory. And Solomon built up the kingdom. He built up a temple, a beautiful, magnificent temple. And it was one of the, just a magnificent thing to look upon, a beautiful thing. And you think about what's the most magnificent structure you've ever seen that's man-made. And I don't know. I'm not sure what I don't know. I really don't. But I mean, what think of things that you've seen that something was built. Maybe you went to a hotel that was just beautifully decorated or whatever. And those things are nice and you go to see them, but man, then you walk outside and you see a rainbow over the mountain. You're just like, wow. And nothing that we can ever make even comes close to what God does. And he just, it's just, to God, it's just, and he made the stars also. I mean, he just does it. I mean, everything out there, the flowers, the lilies of the field, beautiful. I mean, just absolutely beautiful. And the colors that we have here in East Tennessee, I mean, I travel the world, but this is still my favorite place in the world. I love coming back home. I love the mountains up here. It's beautiful. And driving, I love coming. Every time I come back home through from Damascus and get going up through La Laurel, I love that, going by that creek. It's just awesome. And so we have a beautiful, so don't take thought about that in verse number 28 through 31. So, how they grow, they toil not, neither they spin. God does that. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed into like one of these. And that's the truth. The greatest man-made structure is not even close to his beauty of his creation. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And what a thought. What a question. And there's one of those ones where he asks the question. He's like, do you really think your anxiety is helpful here? And he's going to say, I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to take care of that. And he says, take no thought. Don't worry about it, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Okay, so wonderful, wonderful thing here. And then if we look down here, really it's just talking about in 32, it says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. So, and the comparison here is the Gentiles, the people that, and this would have been, this is Matthew written to Jewish people in the gospel. This would have been people maybe that were not, maybe without God. The Gentiles seek all these things. They live for that. They live for that. Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. He knows. He knows that. So if you live, he's basically saying here, if you live your life and you are anxious about everything in your life and you just spend your life dominated by anxiety, are you living like a person of faith? Not really. You're living like a person that is a non-believer. Because if you're a non-believer, you would have much reason for anxiety, right? And so anxiety is a response of people that do not have a relationship with Christ. And so in verse 32, it said, instead of acting like a Gentile, just understand that your heavenly Father loves you. He knows that you have need of these things. And sometimes, honestly, we act like we can act like our Heavenly Father doesn't love us. And that's not true. God loves you. Jesus loves me. Greatest truth I can ever tell myself. And we can get anxious about our future, and we can't even trust Him now. And so God is, He's reading here, trust me with your time, trust me with your necessities, trust me with your clothing, trust me with your, you know, whatever, trust me with your finances, trust me with your life, trust me with your life. And so, and then there's a fifth thing. I love this one. This is probably my favorite. You know, Jesus says, okay, now if you don't get this, if you don't get it after these four points, I'm going to give you another reason. If you're going to sit there and say, I'm still going to be anxious, Jesus just buries the hatchet here, and he says, don't be anxious because there'll be more problems tomorrow. So the one you're so worried about today, the reason you shouldn't be worried about that, because there'll be another one tomorrow that's just as bad, maybe even worse tomorrow. And so I just love that. You know, each day, what's he saying here? Each day brings problems in this world. We live in a sin-cursed world. Each day brings problems, but also each day brings what? Each day brings new grace. Each day brings new mercy. Jesus says that. He says in verse number, where's the positive here? Don't be anxious. More problems are coming for tomorrow. So it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. The Bible says His compassions, they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. And so the mercy and grace of God that was enough for today is going to be enough for tomorrow. And that's a wonderful thing. And so that's where we want to get to. And that's what God wants us to do. God created us. We need Him, to depend upon Him, to have a close walk with Him, to have a faith, to live by faith and always in dependence upon Him. I'm not to depend upon whatever is or isn't in a bank account. I need to depend upon God. Okay, so that's what we have here. So when he gives this prescription here, and what's the response to anxiety? Because it happens. It happens all the time. The first thing our response. So they talk to us, right? When your anxieties talk to you, you talk to God. That's the response. All right, and that's the principle that we have in 1 Peter chapter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. God knows these stimulus are going to come in your life, and you're going to have anxiety. What is it? What is it this week? You know, what are you dealing with? Every single one of us has something. I know it's something they're dealing with right now. Cast it upon Him. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And then we referenced this verse earlier in 1 Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That means basically the same thing. Take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Okay? And what happens? What's the response? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that thought, that prayer, that communication with God, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So prayer is the key for escaping anxiety. And I have to do that all the time. I do. I have to just stop, and I have to hide myself in the cleft of the rock. I do. I just have to beg God and go to God and say, God, you know, what are we going to do about this? Okay, I'm giving it. This is yours. You take care of this for me. And God, you know what He does? He gives me peace. He gives me peace. And I have to do that every day. A lot, you know, you get in the habit throughout the day, and things are always going to come up, and you learn to go. And I mean, you don't have to, you know, a lot of you guys you're always around a bunch of people every day, and you can't just, you know, get down on your knees and put out a prayer mat in the middle of wherever you work. I mean, you could, but that might be a little weird. But you just get in a spirit of prayer, and you pray while you're talking to people, and I do that all the time. And so if you're ever talking to me, and it's like, he is really daydreaming or something, maybe I am praying. I don't know. But you just get in a spirit of prayer, and And then the second thing, our response to anxiety is, you know, you ask yourself every day, for all, you know, you got needs, you got necessities of life. Everybody does. And you ask yourself the question, am I trusting God or am I trusting myself or someone else to take care of these problems? You can get in a place where you depend upon another person to fix all your problems. And that's not the right thing. You can trust yourself. You know, you can get into that habit. But we need to learn to trust God. Jesus said, give us this day, when we pray in this manner, give us this day our what? Our daily bread. Really, I mean, I don't care how much money you got in your bank account. You need to get up and ask God, say, God, will you provide for my food today? You just need to get in the habit of asking God to provide every day for your needs. And just because I want to show you. I mean, you say, well, I got plenty of food. Well, who provided the food? All right? And you know how fast the food supply can go? You know, I mean, you see what's going on in Haiti right now? You don't think that could happen here? Oh, it can happen here. That can happen. Yeah, well, especially with all the defund the police movement. That can definitely. You know, we look at work. You say, well, I work. I provided all this. Well, who gave you the ability to work? It's a God-given ability to be able to work. We're in dependence upon God. You know, gardening. So I did this. Who made it rain? So I watered it. Well, okay. All right. Who gave the ability to grow? I mean, the process of a plant to grow and all that takes place with, you know, photosynthesis and all these things going on in a plant. It's amazing. It really is just awesome to think about all these things. And that's God's doing. That's the Creator at work. And so the third thing is we want to look here is that faith in the facts of the Word is the right response to anxiety. So anxiety is a natural thing. Faith is a supernatural. Anxiety is a first response, but faith is the right response. And faith is trusting the invisible one, trusting in the Word of God. That's faith. And so faith in the facts of the Word of God. So get grounded in the truths of God's Word and claim these truths and pray the truths. And that will help you with anxiety. And so the fourth thing, the prescription, instead of spending your life in anxiety, spend your life on a mission. And that's the key. That's one of my favorite verses is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I use that verse all the time because a lot of times I get into situations where, man, there's numerous things where you can involve your time in and different things like that. But, you know, that helps you, that guides you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's where you want to put your effort. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And you get on a mission, and you live for the kingdom of God, and you do that. You get involved on that and put your efforts into that. And the Bible says all these things that you're worrying about, that God is going to take care of them, and He's going to supply your needs. And that I didn't say that, okay? God said that. That's a promise from God. And it is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. I love that song. It's one of my favorite songs. "Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." And I encourage you to do that. Just take Him at His word and prove Him, and He will be faithful to you in your life. All right, let's go ahead and we'll take a few minutes here for some prayer requests. And I want you to be praying for our team, ORH, it's with Team Honduras, as we'll be traveling from different places. It's been a neat thing to see how God takes care of our needs. You know, I'll just give you one example. I got that phone call Saturday night. One guy, he's a key guy, big on crowd control. He's a real good logistics guy. He's an interesting guy. He has an MBA from MIT, and he goes on a lot of trips with us. But he just loves going, just loves doing it. He just does crowd control. And he said, I got COVID, and two of his kids have COVID. They can't go. And they were going to be big players, and they're not medical, but we can't do it without them. Well, Jan Milton was preaching in a church in San Pedro because he's down there for the pre-trip. And he goes into this church, and in the church there's a girl there that was in his youth group back in the late 70s. Isn't that crazy? He used to be a youth pastor at Southside in Greenville. I don't know if y'all remember Southside back. It was different back then. But he and she remembered him, and she basically recruited like four people that we're going to need, and they're all bilingual. So, pray for our team. Richard Hammonds called me. He wants the church to be praying for him. He has a shoulder surgery on Monday. So let's be praying for Brother Richard. His shoulder surgery will go well. And anybody else got any prayer requests here tonight? Yes. Cataract? Okay. All right. Pray for Kathy. Yes. Okay. All right. Yes. Yes. Surface, yeah, right. Okay. Pray for James' brother, Steph. Really? Well, that's interesting. I'm praying for that. Me, yes. Nice having your family in. When's the next one coming? Okay. Just get them, you know, man, just keep them coming. And I mean, that's like all year round. We have. Yes. Okay. Pray for Todd. It'd be tough to be a police officer these days, I tell you. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It'd be a wonderful thing. Yes, Brother Gene. Yeah, exactly. You'd think it'd be like a, you know. Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah. Right. That's a precious thing. Absolutely right. Thank you, brother. Anybody else tonight? Yes. Yes. Stanley, his sister has cancer. He went to visit. He's still up there, I guess. Okay. He's up in West Virginia. All right. Thank you. Yeah. He was trying to witness to his sister, and they pray he'll have a good opportunity there. It's a nice family. They are nice. I've met some of them. Saved. Anybody else? Yes. 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 Pray for that need there. Thank you so much. a lot of needs, guys. We really do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's all just pray together and bring these needs before the Lord. And I tell you what, Brother Steve wants you to lead us in prayer tonight. Brother Gene, I think it's about time.